particular level, am here on behalf of two trusts that actually own the property that's in question here, where these buildings are, and in fact, my home. The trusts are for the benefit of my two adult children. So on a technical level, I'm here on their behalf as well. I don't want to make more of this than I should. You might be interested in knowing that basically what I'm attempting to do is to build one firework a year that I donate to Winter Sports Club. And this year, I've been doing this now. I started the project in 2012 or thereabouts, and I, my initial thoughts were that, I'd like to make the largest firework. It led to hiring people. I have an engineer that I've hired. I have a pyro expert that builds these fireworks. He currently shares the world record using a machine that I own over in Dubai this last winter. So he's a very experienced pyrotechnic, is what they're called. His name is Jim Whitman. He comes out here once a year, and I compensate him to build these fireworks. This year, he'll be here as soon as he's allowed. And we're trying to set the world record with this show, which all the other ones we've done has led up to this. I'm not here because I've applied for the permit thinking I needed one. As I understand it, it was a publication in the newspaper that caused the planning department to suggest that I have to have one. This has also led, as you may know, I now need to apply for a building permit, which I've done, because I've been conducting this activity in ag buildings without a building permit. But I have submitted my plans that date back to 2011 or thereabouts, and I believe they're all to code. These are metal buildings that are built by these companies that come through. They look at the codes, and so I'm quite certain that won't be a problem, but I have initiated the application for the building permit. Just so you're aware, to build a large firework, it's not really related so much to the small fireworks. There's a lot of proprietary information about doing this, but essentially it's just a big ball, and incidentally we start out with an exercise ball, and we start wrapping it. We wrap that ball with a special machine that I purchased, the only one in the world that's patented, and it's hooked up to a computer, water, compressed air, electricity, and it continuously wraps this ball, but it keeps it in a perfect sphere throughout the process. And of course, that's the aerodynamics of setting this thing up in the air. And it was designed by Jim Whitman, who builds the firework. And no one else is doing this, so there isn't another one. I loaned it to Dubai with a special contract I made with them not to compete with me for these 4 years. Coming here. So you build this big ball, and you have the effects that the public sees in the air that when it explodes, there's an interior fuse that is supposed to go off when the shell is at its apex, which we expect maybe as high as a mile this year. The current world record is 2,375 pounds. And our shell, we think, will be close to 3,000 pounds, and it's 62 inches in diameter. And as I say, we're going to have a certified weight of the shell and the size of the shell. The Guinness Book of Records guys are coming here, for this launch in February. The purpose has always been behind this to promote Steamboat and the Winter Sports Club. And this lends itself to attracting people and, advertising our town. It may be a very strange way to attract people to town. It may not be what everybody's idea is as to what reputation we want to have. But I've been supported, you can probably see from the letters, by the ski area and the Winter Sports Club and others who do believe it's helpful in marketing Steamboat. In any event, it's been going on now, and unbeknownst to me, in terms of having to have this permit, we started out making a 24-inch shell. We made a 36-inch shell, a 48 last year, and they've been progressively getting bigger, as you can tell. And that's because we collect all the data from the firing of these previous shells, which gives us information on what to do about this shell. The process that's involved in building a shell is really a rather inane process that is not very dangerous when you build one shell. You've probably heard that there are factories in China and other factories where there have been incidents of explosions. That's largely because of the magnitude of the number of people building shells. They're building thousands of them in a day. This is one item. We have one or two people working. Some of the process is outside. That picture, well, it's not up there now, but what you see, well, the part of the shell is built in a small warehouse there in the bottom of the picture on the right-hand side of that foremost building. We have explosion-proof electricity and lights in there and fans to keep the air circulating. That in there, pretty rudimentary, and we store my tractors and other agriculture related items in that building when we're not working in here, which again is just, you know, 2 to 5 weeks a year depending on the size of the shell. Right now, you're looking at the bottom picture are two containers. I bought years ago. I bought a small fireworks company that was going out of business in Denver and acquired these mortars and those two containers and a variety of other things. And as you may know, I have been providing the fireworks for the city. And when I say providing them, I buy them directly from China through an agent that I have. And I buy them in large quantities, actually a full container load. The city reimburses me for the 4th of July fireworks after the show, which, by the way, I have quite an investment now because I bought 3 years of fireworks, and they haven't had a show for 2 years, so I won't start getting paid until or reimbursed. It's important for you to know I haven't made a dime in 20 years doing this. The cost of the fireworks only I pass on. I have a big investment in these buildings and the mortars that are used by the city in the 4th of July show and Winter Carnival, my firing systems and a variety of other things that you know I don't seek any reimbursement for but are necessary, and I loan them all out now to the city. I'm not really involved in anything other than providing all the equipment for the July 4th show. This picture that you see in the upper right-hand corner is labeled mortar storage. That's half of the storage inside this barn. And I recognize that these activities are non-related to agriculture or the home. I do take a bit of an issue with being characterized as home industrial. I am not in commerce. And you know, the industrial thing seems to suggest that I'm doing this for profit, or I'm selling something, and I've never sold anything and don't have any intention of selling anything, you know, during this process, and haven't for 20 years. But be that as may, I have the application in, and tonight I'm here to answer any questions you might have about what's going on here. As you can see from the application, I'm just looking for permission on a temporary basis during a 2 to 5 week period, whatever it takes to build this firework, it would continue on. I don't have any intention, by the way, of building anything bigger than this one. And I'm not sure, it's we don't know about the science that would allow us to do this. We're beginning to get to the edge of what we have as current science on building anything. That would be this heavy that gets up that high. The site where this is, which is not involved in this application, is in the city limits, and it was selected by the city, and I have approvals from the city for purposes of placing the mortar. Native Excavation placed the mortar there this summer. It's, by the way, 26 feet long and weighs 7 tons, and I had it built in Washington because they used some type of special welding to put the thing together. My plan, if I get a permit, is to go forward on February 9th and fire this most recent show. So that's my plan. I have not heard or seen or had anybody speak to me that objects. And I think you can see that I do have support from all of my adjoining property neighbors who wrote letters, as I understand it. And I don't believe I contribute to anything detrimental to any of the neighbors in my area. I am inspected by the ATF on a three-year basis. They were here within the last year. They spend a day looking at all the facilities, and they've got hundreds of regulations that I have to be within. I have a display operator license from the state, and I have invited out, and I have had routine visits by the Steamboat Fire Department and the Sheriff's Office, and everybody's been aware of this. So I have not tried to be under the radar. I just was not aware there was going to be a requirement of this nature for just a temporary donation that I'm making, essentially. So I'm open to any questions you might have.
Any questions for Mr. Borden? John?
Yes.
Mr. Borden, aside from planning, has there been any construction work done on this future device?
The firework?
Yes.
If the firework is sitting there in the shop, it's empty, and all it is a exercise ball that we haven't removed yet that's wrapped with common adhesive paper, the brown packaging paper that you see. That's basically what's sitting there.
John, that's what it looks like up on the screen.
You can see it there. And that machine is the machine I'm talking about that was invented by this fellow Jim Whitman.
Any other questions?
Yes.
How many pounds, plus or minus, of stored mortars would you say you have on site right now?
Of the mortars? You mean the tubes?
The explosives that you buy from China for the shows 2 years ahead of time, now you're waiting to get reimbursed on.
Yeah. Well,
so I said mortar, which is the act. Referring to the actual explosive that gets shot out of the mortar.
And do you want to know what the weight is or the cost?
How many pounds of explosives do you have stored on site right now, plus or minus?
Probably a ton. We do take back fireworks from each of these shows that don't go off, mm-hmm. and store them for future use. And I have 3 years of future fireworks that I paid for.
Bill?
Condition number 9 says that you are required to have liability insurance. Did you have this liability insurance before you applied?
Yeah, I've had it forever, but I have not had the additional endorsement of the county.
Uh-huh.
But I have had, my policy has been in effect for as long as I've owned my home, which is over 40 years.
Does that part two of that, does that cover the show part?
No, and the show really isn't involved in this application either. This is, as I understand this application, this is just for the construction, but my liability policy only covers my property. Once the show departs from my property, I think it's not really related to this application, but I would tell you that I have coverage under a private vendor in the amount of $10 million, and I have coverage by Winter Sports Club. I believe that's the amount of $5 million, and that all has to do with activity at the city. They make us volunteers for the day for July 4th and for the show that the city's involved with, and that gives us sovereign immunity in addition to the city's bond, which I think is in the amount of $10 million too. Jeff, you may know what the city's bond is, but we're covered in a variety of ways for the firing, and I have liability insurance, and I always have for the construction.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you. If we have questions, we'll come back later. Christy.
Yes. So the request is for a home industry. It's a non-commercial use for the fabrication and storage of fireworks. The permit boundary, as you can see up on the screen, it encompasses two parcels on either side of County Road 129. The home industry use itself is conducted on the western 43.5-acre parcel on the western portion of 129. Based on our site inspection and review of this application, noise and traffic impacts are expected to be low based on the majority of the uses conducted inside of three of the four structures on site. It's a seasonal use where the fabrication portion of the use is happening during a 2 to 5 week time frame period. There are no full-time paid employees. There are volunteers part of this use, again, during that fabrication time frame, from that 2 to 5 week time frame there. No fireworks will be tested or set off at this location, and that's been made a condition of approval. I believe that's been some concerns that were raised by some phone calls that we did receive, so there was a clarification on that. The site is routinely inspected by state and federal agencies and has current permits with each of those agencies, as Mr. Borden has stated. The use meets the standards for a home industry in Section 8.17 of the regulations. And I think I provided everybody a copy, an updated report from our building, from the building department, that Mr. Borden is working with the building department on obtaining permits for those ag buildings for the change of use for the home industry. There are several conditions of approval, most being standard conditions. However, there are specific conditions of approval, one that may need to be discussed and tweaked a little bit if this were approved, and that would be under specific condition 14. One of the bullets that speaks to the use says, all activity related to the use shall be conducted inside. I spoke with Mr. Borden about this the other day, and while we were inspecting the site, he did mention a small incidental portion of the fabrication of the firework that is done outside, and that is, I believe you called it baking of the firework, which basically sits out in the sun in a large pot. So he can probably speak more eloquently about that process than I can, so that condition of approval may need to be tweaked a little bit to incorporate that portion of the use. And other than that, I think that's all I had for now.
I'd like to add one thing before I do. It's come up since we first contacted a couple different people about, hey, this is pre-law impact, why does he even need to apply for a permit? And, you know, basically, planning staff's response is that any use that takes place in an incorporated rec county has to, you know, have its home in our land use chart. So looking through the land use chart to see, okay, where would this fit in? You know, maybe the first thing that would come to mind for a low-intensity use would be an accessory use. But in order to be accessory, it needs to be customarily and commonly associated with the use by right or the house, in this instance, or the ag operation. And, you know, the position of staff was basically that, you know, building, even if it's one firework, but it's the biggest one ever produced on the planet Earth, you know, would not be considered accessory. So, okay, from down the line, you start to see, okay, where would this fit in? And even though it's not, you know, commercial or a moneymaker, like Tim had said, You know, it's still the production and manufacturing of the product. You know, and so that would be the closest fit. Actually, if it didn't fall in under home industry, it wouldn't have been eligible for a permit, then you couldn't do it. So, you know, that not only I felt was an appropriate fit, you know, it was, you know, I think a good determination is to at least move forward with this and get this in front of you. I guess it's fine.
Thanks. I have a question, and I'm not sure if it's really for you guys or for Mr. Gordon, but when I looked back at it, I don't understand really why the entire parcel is the permit area. In other words, well, why don't we just take what's west of 129 or 5 acres on the south end? And I don't understand how the permit boundary was established.
The permit boundary includes both because as part of the definition for the use of home industry, it needs to be accessory to a residential use. So they are two separate parcels. So Mr. Ford needed to include both parcels as part of the entire permit boundary to be eligible for this permit.
As accessory.
Correct.
And it would not have been able to go through county if it was not deemed accessory?
If it wasn't as accessory to a residential use of the parcel.
Yeah, it wouldn't be eligible for a home industry permit.
Yeah.
And there wouldn't be, like I said before, there wouldn't be any other kind of permit he could apply for if he just, you know, had the property on, you know, the west side.
Questions for staff?
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Christy, bullet point for specific condition 14.
Yes.
The use is a seasonal part-time use no more than 6 months out of the year.
Correct.
Can you expand on that?
So, speaking with Mr. Borden, you know, in his narrative, he had asked for 2 to 5 weeks. And that would be, I guess, the best case scenario, but not to limit him to that time frame in case it went beyond that time frame. So it kind of also mirrors what the building department said for a temporary building permit is for 6 months. So the conditional use permit would be for no more than 6 months out of the year, but the actual fabrication portion of the use is between that 2 and 6 week time frame period.
But if the items are stored there for an entire year, Mr. Borden wouldn't want to have to move them, right? I mean, the specific condition 14.
I see what you're saying. Yes.
Says for the storage and manufacturing of non-commercial fireworks. But if Mr. Borden is storing them for an entire year, that condition is a little bit restrictive.
Limit that condition to manufacturing.
What's that?
So we can just limit that condition to manufacturing if you deem it appropriate. So the storage of anything associated, you know, could remain year-round under this permit.
Or you could eliminate it. I mean, the permit's for life of use, so...
Well, yeah, when we go through the conditions, we'll have some more.
Any other questions? With that, we'll open it up to public comment. I know you're here to say something regarding the petition. So please step to the podium so we can get your voice on our mic and give us any comments you may have regarding the application.
I mean, do we even have to?
My name is Pete Withers, and I'm here to favorable acceptance of the permit for Mr. Borden. And most of you have been here for a very long time and know the success of the Winter Sports Club Winter Carnival. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the carnivals have become very much more successful since the fireworks have been instituted. And this is entirely due to Mr. Borden's input with the fireworks and his donations to the Winter Sports Club. So I think that if he can continue to build these fireworks and promote fireworks for the Winter Carnival, it would be very much in good favor for the Winter Sports Club and the city and county of Steamboat, the city of Steamboat and the county as well. I'm happy to see that he has all of his licenses and permits, and it's already covered that way. And it sounds like the neighbors don't have any issues with it at all. So I would just like to say that I'm here to for the support of this permit. Questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Good evening. I'm Jamie Jenny. And the big question that comes to my mind, first off, is why is this even here? Why does he need to have a permit? The parallel I would like to ask to planning would be, if I were to manufacture targets for bow and arrows at my house, we donated them to the Boys and Girls Club, would I need a permit?
Can I answer that?
Yes.
We definitely have a discussion with you about whether that manufacturing is customary and commonly associated with your house. And, you know, if the answer was no, it is not, and I can't think of another, you know, similar production facility, if you will, then yeah, you may need a permit for it. You know, the scope has something to do with it, so it's a combination of product and scope. So I would say in that example, yes.
So the person's land really is not their land to do with what they want.
Well, we have zoning in this county.
Yeah.
We have to abide by zoning.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so if I made little round targets and I donated them to the Boys and Girls Club, then I would need a permit to do that.
Little round targets?
Yeah, you know, have you ever shot a bow now?
Yes, I have shot a bow.
Okay, well then, those.
Okay, you know what, that's probably okay. But like I said, we have to know this.
But anyway, so back to my original question, I'm just in awe that there is a permit being required or this conversation is even happening. I mean, this is an individual who's done nothing in this town but promote this town for the betterment of those of us fortunate enough to live here, and I've only lived here since 75. And there's no monetary gain in this. It is from nothing but the betterment of the town, the tax money that the city and county realizes because of the betterment of the 4th of July show as well as the Winter Carnival show is astounding. And it would really be sad for me to see the county and the city push an individual with things like this to the point where he goes, why do I really want to do this? Maybe I should just give it up and throw the town in. And then we wouldn't have fireworks here because I know the city cannot afford to put on the show that is put on in this town by themselves, which wouldn't happen without the donations. To me, it's shocking. But that's just my opinion, and I would hope that people would have a little bit farther sighting in your thought processes than just a very brief income from a permit change or requirement for a permit. Anyway, I will probably get too heated if I continue on, so I can step down. Any questions?
Thank you.
FYI, for Planning Commission, the county waived Mr. Borden's application fees for this process.
Hello, my name is Jim Spillane, and I'm just here to express my family's support, really, for approving this application. My youngest son has been heavily involved. He has some certifications himself for production of fireworks, and Nancy and I have volunteered many years to help put the fireworks together. We've been out to the property many, many times. It's always meticulously clean and well-maintained. We personally have never had anybody complain in any kind of way about that operation out there. And I don't think it could be much more professionally operated than what Mr. Borden does. So I'm just here to support his application and encourage you to do this.
Thank you. Thank you.
My name is Rich Law. I'm resident in unincorporated Rock County, and I too like to voice my support for Mr. Borden's venture. And I think, given the fact that he has all his state licensure, federal licensure, routinely inspected the insurance, the question came up around that, and certainly the sheriff's department, fire department knew about this. That there was no hidden agenda here. I would encourage you to support his application as well. I would ask, I understand you have a job to do and so on, but it does seem a little bit unbalanced, and I'm concerned as a taxpayer about the amount of money that staff had to go through this process. It is a little bit concerning, but I would encourage you to support his application. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi everyone, Shannon Lukens, and I am used to just reporting the facts, so I'll tell you a fact, and we went to Mr. Borden's to do a story on this, and I got a picture, I got a little video, and thought, oh, who knows how this will go on our social media. Mr. Borden, huge big ball, just talking. Our social media on Steamboat Radio's Facebook page exploded as big as this firework is going to explode, and we had people sharing and commenting. It was in the hundreds of thousands of people who love this video. And it wasn't anything really exciting, just him talking about this big firework. And then they were all commenting. And they were tagging each other. We have to go to this. Hey, let's make our reservations now. Let's book our hotels. So I think it makes a huge impact on our community. And it is a gift to our community. Lord knows he has everything covered. And it's probably his fault that there are 25 20-year-olds sleeping on our floor at Winter Carnival, and they're all coming back this year.
Thank you.
Hi there, Charlie MacArthur, Native Excavating. We've been working with the Bordens for a good number of years now, setting these fireworks and setting the mortars. And in that time, we found Ms. Borden and his wife to be nothing but the utmost integrity. Certainly our community is much better served for having families like theirs around. I'd ask you to please act swiftly to move him through this process so as not to discourage other families similar to the board from doing the same thing. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, Brad Hofert. We are actually neighbors of Mr. Borden's property. We're right below the number 2 firework seasonal workshop there, sign. It's a very nice, quiet place to live. We've still got lots of wildlife. Lots of things are going on. Mr. Borden, not only are we neighbors, I have worked for him here and there. The utmost of professional with everything as far as keeping his properties clean, keeping things right, always doing the proper thing for the county, for the community. You see a lot of stuff around our county that people squeeze through the rules. Mr. Borden isn't one of those. Okay, it's nothing but the best out there. We love being the neighbor, and I hope this just slides right through. Thanks.
Thank you.
Paul Ferguson. I live at 1111 Pleasantville Lane. I happen to be the closest person to this new firework installation, and I'm 100% behind it. But anyway, the thing that's confusing, confounding me is, when do you tax a donation? That's basically what this is. Making someone pull a permit is going to be a cost. It's not about the money. It's about, you know, maybe this is something that needs to be looked at a little closer. You know, if you're, there's plenty, and we know this, just like when we had the rental units forever that weren't approved, there's numerous cottage industry in this valley. Otherwise, we wouldn't survive. But with Tim's generous donation year after year after year, there was years we were not going to have the fireworks. I don't know if you remember that, but we weren't going to. And last year is a perfect example of what it would have been like if that had been the case. But anyway, year after year after year, anonymous donor, I don't think I have to say who that probably was, but made sure we had a fireworks show. You know, this, I've seen the installation, and being the closest house, I feel 100% confident. Tim's got all the licensing, everything else. And I did work on the fireworks for 10 years. So I know what it's like. And, you know, it's something that I think will be an incredible economic boom, as you've already heard. So with that, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
I am Bethany Oren, and we ride in that arena on the north, on the upper left portion, and no more left, and that's our driveway. Yeah, that round oval. That brown oval is the arena we ride in, and that's our driveway to the left of that. And I apologize, I don't know what precipitated this whole process, and didn't really know anything about it until I saw the sign at the end of Tim's driveway and contacted Christy, whose name was on there, to find out what was going on. I would also like to say, as background, I was the Winter Carnival Queen in 1976. We had no fireworks, and other than Mrs. Bristol made me a silk skirt, and I had to jump Galindi through the flaming hoop, and was certain I would be the fireworks. And I think that it is a huge asset, and I've been graduated, did winter sports club all growing up here. Think that the fireworks are a huge asset. I just have some concerns because beginning in 1988, I was at the next property to the north of us when a bunch of fireworks went off in, it was late May or early June, came to find out it was Mr. Borden's daughter's graduation, but the people that sold him the property that you're discussing on the west side of the road had two of their four horses pretty severely injured in the fence because there had been no pre-communication that any fireworks would be going off and it frightened their horses. In 1998, when his daughter got married, again, a huge fireworks display over there, and I had to help Patsy Wilhelm doctor several of her horses that got wire cuts from running through the fence. Thankfully, I don't know why, our horses were fine. And I'm grateful for reading the application that there is some, there's not going to be any further testing or whatever of the fireworks. But I would just like to say that as much as support I am of that, I hope that there will be better communication when or if any fireworks need to get discharged for those of us that have, we have camels, cattle, horses, sheep, goats, chickens. And in the last 9 months, during the middle of the day, I'm not sure if Mr. Borden was getting rid of old fireworks or what was going on, but it was in the afternoon, and there was, I would estimate, he could speak to it better than me, probably 30 fireworks that went off, and a lot of boomers, and it's really distressing to the livestock. So I am in support. I feel like anybody should be able to do what they want on their own property so long as it's legal. I just would hope that you guys would be sure to include and consider the effect of the noise on livestock if, for some reason, any fireworks are discharged.
Thank you.
I wonder if I might just address.
Sure.
This last, Tim Borden again, this last summer, the city came to me. They've been soliciting volunteers to help with the 4th of July show. And Wendy Del Quadri wanted to get as many people as possible licensed for the future of this program. I agreed to allow that to happen on my property, and I filed with the fire department and received a permit. It was training that we conducted in the afternoon. It was fully permitted. I provided it at no cost to the fireworks, and as Bethany says, there may have been 30. It's part of the training. They brought people up from Denver. We all took a test as well, but they were required under the rules to get their license to discharge these fireworks. We went out with all the distances that we needed under the ATF and conducted that. I have received permits for my property in the past. I apologize to Bethany and others. I don't know what the process would be for who I should be contacting in advance of these, but I wouldn't do this and haven't done this without a permit. I must say that maybe back in 1988 when my daughter graduated from high school, if that's when it was, I'm not sure about the permit for that particular show, but I will tell you this. The sheriff was there, and I hired him off-duty, a sheriff, to be there, you know, for not for purposes of fireworks show, although he enjoyed it. It was for purposes of managing all the kids that showed up at the high school. I think it was the graduation party or something of that nature. So I do apologize for, I think Bethany's got a valid criticism. In the future, obviously knowing about this now, I'm not a horse person, but I wouldn't refute that fireworks don't go well with horses, dogs, or cats, for that matter. So should I need a permit or something in the future, I would clearly want to notify Bethany and others in my immediate proximity.
Thank you.
Could I ask you a question while I'm still there? Estimated blast range of this device?
The big fireworks?
Yeah.
The city has located this firework. The location of it is within the guidelines. It's 1 inch of firework in diameter, equated to 70 feet. I don't know the actual distance. However, the city provided me with the site on Emerald Mountain. And I would guess it might be a half mile. Paul Ferguson, I think, is accurate when he says his home may be the closest home to the firework, but it's not within what they call it. Yeah, there it is. The city produced that. And that yellow circle is the circle that is called the fallout area. And there are no habitable structures, and there should be no people within that area when the show goes off.
That's for the show.
That's for the show. It has nothing to do with mine.
Nothing, but we're only dealing with the manufacturing of
right.
the show. So are there blast radiuses shown on the up there? The green, the blue, the orange, any of those actual, the predicted radius of what the show, the explosion actually is?
No, those all have to do with the fallout, which all has to do with the debris, if any, that comes down. Most of the firework is consumed, but the shell, frankly, there have been pieces that come down. All of those other circles, by the way, are related to the July 4th show for the most part, and they all relate to the different sizes of fireworks. So the center of each of those circles is where those shells would go off, and the outside perimeter of those circles would be the fallout area where you can't have people. But again, as you pointed out, That's not really part of this application.
Yeah. No, but it, I mean, the information is fantastic, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But the actual shell itself, how far, when it explodes, its blast radius is 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet, plus or minus, it's just a guess.
Yeah, maybe 1,500 feet or...
Mm-hmm. And would you say the shop is approximately 1,000 feet from the county road, plus or minus?
I have a berm there, but the ATF controls that in terms of the storage.
The distance.
But you're talking about apples and oranges. The fallout area for this, you know, has to do with the fact that the shell is way up in the air. The radius of these explosions when they're on the ground is different than when they're in the air, of course.
And contained within a structure as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I am within all the distances from roads and habitable structures for the storage and manufacture of the fireworks. I have a license for that.
And that goes from a firework this big to a firework 62 inches in diameter. They take that in consideration. Because you're pushing the limit. You just admitted that you went 24, 40, you know, the size is increasing. They come out every year and say, your size is still good. Thumbs up. Your distance away from the road. Because there's questions about the applicability of this permit even coming in, its validity. And I would question you and think, wouldn't you think the county would be concerned about the world's largest firework being manufactured and its possible impacts if an accident did ever occur on other neighboring parts of the county? Is that a valid concern for the county?
As far as I know, the ATF looks at all of this, and it's not going to reach the road or any habitable structures.
And I understand, and I love the argument of we need to have we need to rely on our federal and state officials. But there's also this argument that says locals know how to do it best. So we're just trying up here. We're trying to find a balance between, yeah, we totally trust the ATF, we trust the feds. I trust you that you're doing a good job. But to sit here and say that there's no concern about manufacturing an explosive device, a firework, in the county, and that the county has no interest in that? I'm just asking you if you think the county should have an interest in the manufacturing of an explosive in the county, because we don't care about your money. When we make our decisions up here, your profitability does not weigh into our consideration. So your business model is one of no profitability. That's awesome. That's very generous of you. But still, the potential impacts to your neighbors, don't you think that's the county's concern, just a little bit?
Okay.
Should it be a concern? Yes. ATF, though, comes out and looks at my facility and inspects it.
Yep.
And I'm in compliance with all the federal rules that have to do with what I'm doing out there. So I assumed that they know more than the county does, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no disparagement, but I don't think that Christie, you know, has a lot of experience with fireworks. And so I relied upon the ATF. And I think they do know what they're doing, and they signed off. I've never had a violation from them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tim. I have a question for staff. On 14, the last bullet item.
Yes.
I think this was where Bethany was headed. Yes. Is it your intent?
The no testing or display of fireworks on the property?
Yeah. So that's the intent of that bullet,
mm-hmm.
was to kind of address the neighbor's livestock question.
I only spoke with Bethany today, actually. So that came from the applicant's narrative and our discussions.
Okay.
You know, but with speaking with her, I let her know that there was a condition of approval that should satisfy some of her concerns. She seemed to be pleased with that. You know, I don't know, based on what Mr. Ford said, if in the future you planned on more trainings. And if so, I see what you're getting at. Does that condition need to be crafted or crafted in a way to satisfy both concerns there?
Yeah. I have a question for Mr. Borden. It sounded like maybe you were interested in offering training if you were approached to do that. Would that be your intent?
Yeah, I'm getting pretty frustrated with this whole process. I'm not sure how much further I'm going to go forward under all these circumstances. But
I'm trying to make it work for you, is what I'm trying to do.
I mean, the city came to me and asked me, would you be willing to offer your property and your equipment, your firing systems, your fireworks, mortars? I donated all of that. I bought the fireworks for that. I paid for the permit from the city. I didn't know I had to do anything else.
I'm trying to include in a permit the things that you would like to do, because I'm not sure the way it's written right now covers the training aspects that you may want to do. And if that is something that you feel going forward that may work on your property, and you provide these different agencies, then I don't want to necessarily throw out a condition here that then all of a sudden you're in violation of that because we didn't include it. So I'm trying to
help
the neighbors. I mean, maybe it's a simple notification that says, you know, on Saturday the 20th of July, we're going to do a training session. They can gather up their horses, they know they're secure, and you can proceed with your training exercise or event. Because right now, Tim, I don't think it's in there in that clear of a...
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to go along with whatever notification, you know, and I think it's a valid request that... I notify neighbors in advance. I'm never entirely sure who all they are, obviously. I'm aware of Bethany. And I think the sets of the
challenge that
have horses. I don't know all the neighbors who have livestock, but I would be happy if there's a list to call them all up if I go to seek a permit. And by the way, as you may know, with the permits you get here, there's a window of time, even for the July 4th show, and otherwise, where you can only fire during a short period of time, and that's specified. And I'd be happy to, and I think it's a reasonable request to notify, you know, neighbors around there.
Testing and training is commensurate with manufacturing.
Well, I just don't want to create.
Well, you're exactly right. We would have been creating that if that had the situation that come up. So something that allows for it, the notification is still the issue. But
okay. Is there any other public comment? Everybody's good with public comment? Okay. We'll close that portion and come back to the Planning Commission with questions, thoughts, concerns, and staff. So if you want to chime in, please do. And if not, we'll proceed.
And that last bullet, I mean, since we're on that topic of,
right,
of training, you know, we can't say no testing or display of fireworks on the property except for training. Training may only take place after, and then whatever you conclude, proper notifications.
Yeah. Which condition, Chad?
That's 14. Last
14
bullet.
Last 14? Bullet.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And we can even help Tim notify the neighbors. You know, we typically just have mailing addresses, but you know, if you know farm number ahead of time, you know, it could even be the applicant or the permit holder shall work with staff to notify neighbors prior to training.
I'd be happy to help with that.
Probably
five of us that have
lifestyle. The only thing I can suggest is a notification. If for training. So if you're going to have, you know, 30 people out there from Littleton or something and they're doing a training exercise, it seems reasonable to me that we should probably let the livestock owners know that something may be going off. And that seems fair. So if somebody wants to add that to a condition or rewrite it or whatever, like that would be good.
Since we're on those conditions of approval,
yes,
to address... the fourth bullet, where Jeff brought up the use as a seasonal part-time use no more than 6 months out of the year. Chad and I were discussing that we could include the word manufacturing use. The manufacturing use is a seasonal part-time use no more than 6 months out of the year. And then add a bullet about storage being storage for the use is a year-round use.
Could we make the manufacturing year-round? Does it have to be seasonal?
Well, I guess that's a good discussion point, because the application said one firework 4 to 5 weeks, and after talking with Timmy, realized it was more than that, you know. And so, you know, there, I don't know whether there's a good answer as far as, you know, what that maximum would be. And so this is just something that staff put in this report as far as, hey, should this cover it? And I believe, Tim, you're good with those 6 months?
Yeah, the point of it is, the manufacturer involves a lot of water and things of that nature that you couldn't do in freezing temperatures. So that's the idea that we talked about is that it would still be 2 to 5 weeks that it takes to build these shells. But it would be done during that 6 month period. And I'm happy to live with that. I you know, this is a very limited project that I'm involved with. This isn't, you keep using this word manufacturing, but I'm not selling anything. I'm not doing volume. I'm just looking for a window of opportunity to make one shell a year.
What if another situation arose where there was an opportunity and you donated your time again? You could come in and apply for a change. I would lean towards just it can be used year-round, because there are some limiting factors as far as temperature and stuff, but what if another project comes up and he can participate in it? Me personally, I don't know what the 6 months gets us. It's just a personal feeling.
I agree. I don't know.
I mean, the idea is not to, I think what everybody's getting at is not to box you in, Mr. Borden, into, you know, conditions that you can't live with, you know, so we're just trying to work that out.
I don't know why we care.
But at the same time,
if it's for non-commercial use,
right,
eliminate it.
Doesn't matter. You know, if you are a neighbor on the property line, you're observing whatever the use is on that property. That's what the zoning regulations are all about, you know. And so, whether there's an exchange of money or not, doesn't impact the use.
No, but we're talking about intensity of use, and there's only one individual that's working with and for him for a very limited amount of time of the year.
Right.
So we don't have an intensity of use issue, and even if there were, it's occurring within his boundaries. There are 3 deliveries that occur per year. And the concern is really what I'm hearing related to the explosion of the fireworks on his property. And so I think we can eliminate the fourth bullet point altogether and modify the final bullet point to say no testing, training, or display of fireworks on the property without fire approval of the neighbors or something to that effect.
Proper notice,
thank you, and proper permitting from the local authorities. That eliminates any concern about when he's conducting these operations on his property. It resolves the concern about, hopefully, surrounding livestock, and it doesn't impact the use of the property.
Everybody good with that?
Okay. And how do you feel about bullet point 3 under 14? Because there was the baking pan.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. Shall be conducted inside. And Christy, that was taken from the narrative. And so if part of it has to occur outside, then it does. It's part of the process, so be it.
I think if you add all activity related to the use shall be conducted inside, excepting the transportation and baking of the fireworks.
And training.
Baking in quotes.
And training. So what we're trying to do, Mr. Borden, is craft a situation that will allow you to conduct these activities in such a way that doesn't unnecessarily limit what you're trying to do. Are we getting close here?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And everybody can call me Tim.
So you can call me Al.
Okay. I have no intention of ever being in the business of expanding this thing, and I've never sold anything and never had any intention to, so the limitation that Christy and I talked about, I mean, it's reasonable, but expanding that to give me more flexibility, that's just my benefit. I mean, the people I hire fly out here, and so I have to meet with their schedules and that sort of thing.
Okay. For those of you in the audience that may be interested, this item will be heard by the Board of County Commissioners on October 2nd at 1:30.
And I believe it's 2:30.
It's 2:30?
Did I have it in there?
It says 1:30.
It's 2:30.
It's 2:30. Scratch that, it's 2:30. But anyway, appreciate all your comments. And I think that I would hope that everybody recognizes that I think not only yourselves, but I don't think there's anybody in this room that doesn't appreciate what's going on and how big of a deal it is for Steamboat Springs to have a fireworks display. Before Mr. Borden did it, I used to help the American Legion set up fireworks on Hollison Hill for, I was out there maybe 25 years. It's a much better show, much bigger show. But it was what we could do back then. So,
being a South Florida, I do think Joey Yampa. So you know, we do try down there, but obviously it's pretty impressive over here.
So, having said all that, if somebody's got a motion, chair's ready.
Chair, I'd move for the Steamboat Fireworks for Free Special Use Permit Activity PL 18-167 with findings of fact number 1. General conditions 1 through 13, specific conditions 15 and 16, all as written. With the modification of specific condition 14, bullet point 1 and 2, as written. 3, modified to read, all activity related to the use shall be conducted inside, excepting transportation and baking of the fireworks.
And training,
thank you. The elimination of condition number 14, bullet point 4. 14, 5 as written. And 14, 6 modified to read, no testing, training, or display of the fireworks without notifying the neighbors ahead of time and proper permitting of local authorities.
Is there a second?
15, 16.
Those were already.
I'll second.
Yes. Roberta seconded, sorry.
Yeah.
Could I? Oh, you are suggesting a condition of notification.
Mm-hmm.
Could I say at 2 weeks prior to the event? Or just come knock on my door?
Hey, tonight we're having.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's reasonable?
Do you know, Chad, in terms of permitting time for, maybe Mr. Borden does, how much lead time we need? You get a permit on a Monday for an activity that occurs on Friday?
You mean like a special event permit?
Yep.
There's no notification for a special event.
What about trainings?
And we can require it. It's just case by case.
When the guys come in and did the shooting in South Route and the helicopters, how much notice do they have to give us for that?
They did.
That's the whole reason why I came about. because they didn't tell anybody. But
true story.
True story.
Mr. Borden, when they asked to do the training, how much lead time did you have?
In that case, I had probably a month for training. I should point out that I've been asked to do some special displays for weddings. They're typically very small, outside of my property. And I have applied with the fire department, and they alert all the joint neighbors. And in fact, the most recent request that was made by some individuals, and by the way, and again, in that case, I donate everything. I've never received it, but when I do those, they go around the fire department, and they contact all their neighbors. And in the last incident, I filed for a permit. I was denied because one of the neighbors said it would be too disruptive, so we didn't do the show. That's fine with me. I think I leave it up entirely to the fire department, just as when Mel talks to me about 4th of July, hey, if you're not comfortable, we don't do 4th of July. I mean, all these permits that I get are through the fire department here, so I just live with whatever they allow me to do.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I'm open to whatever you think is a reasonable amount of time in terms of an amendment.
Maybe it's not needed if the fire department handles it.
Well, that's, I was saying, you know, notification to the sheriff's department. If the sheriff's department has typically handled the notification, then do we just stick with the process that seems to be working and or not?
I'd like to ask staff how that works. If somebody wants to do a private firework show on their 40 acres.
I don't think that question has ever come up.
I mean, somebody got a big party on their land, and if they've got their approval from the fire department, that's fine. But if it gets so big, they're advertising on the radio and charging admission, they need a special event permit.
Right.
I think and then we'll contact the
okay, so in
it's
terms
a
of
private
the county,
event.
If, before you get to the special event permit, though,
correct.
In terms of the county, they're okay. I mean, you can go out and do a fireworks show on Mr. Jenny's property. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Fire department. Notification, just leave it as written or as
suggested.
The motion?
Without neighbor approval and proper permitting?
Not approval. Just
excuse me. That's what I had written.
Notification.
Neighbor notification.
Did you want to add a time?
No.
No? Just leave it.
Leave it.
Fire department, I guess.
Friendly amendment as well. This is a recommendation for approval.
And your point?
We don't approve on this one. This is a special use permit.
Duh.
Well.
Okay. Those in favor of the motion say yes.
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 Yes. Those opposed say no.
The chair votes yes. Thank you.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody for
Next item on the agenda is the administrator's report.
Chatting with him.
Yes, he is.
Administrator's reports.
I think we have a new job.
What's that? It's
just like, please stop.
Upcoming agenda.
Housekeeping.
Yeah. The first meeting in October, which I believe is the 4th. is that right?
Yes.
Check housekeeping. And that's it. Board of County Commissioners hasn't seen much in the way of recommendations in the last couple weeks since we met last. They had seen Larry Colestro block consolidation in the Stagecoach, and the Board of County Commissioners kind of did a 180, you know, and agreed with you guys. That wasn't the 180 part. That was that they're waiving the fee in lieu of land dedication for lock consolidations.
What?
Because they had made findings in the past where they supported keeping it at that $1,400, and you know, mainly based on some of the input from the Planning Commission, they felt it was appropriate to get rid of that altogether.
Chad,
that's the way staff would be processing now.
Chad, there was a question that came up on that one where the individual was only going to have one allowed to have one driveway, and there was a question raised about why he couldn't have a driveway into both parcels since the parcel was going to be split
correct
by the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were going to follow up with the appropriate.
I did. I apologize, Jimmy.
I'm sorry. That's
but
okay.
That was something that Troy brought up. I did look into it. I did follow up with Troy. So thank you for reminding me so I can let everybody know. I spoke with Road and Bridge. That is their policy. It's more intended for properties, specifically on County Road 14. They were seeing this a lot, where applicants, property owners were coming in for multiple driveways, straddling both sides of the road, and it becomes a safety issue. In this situation, it is unique. It was a standard condition they asked for, but the commissioners agreed they actually waived that condition based on your recommendation. But it is something that's in our regulations anyway, and there is, and it is something that's looked at on a case-by-case basis.
Okay, thank you.
So in the future, it's something that can be discussed and reviewed with Road and Bridge on case-by-case basis.
Thank you.
So the new rule / guidance is where one is seeking a lot consolidation in the Stagecoach, there will be no fee in lieu, or that's your recommendation?
Well, that's the way that the Board of County Commissioners ruled in that case.
In that case, and or
I think it's still a policy.
Case.
And I think it's also going to be reviewed on a case by case basis.
Okay.
It's, you know, so the fact that they did waive this one in particular, I think it's pretty telling what they'll do in the future. And whether or not this will remain a policy, we haven't gotten direction on that, but...
But I'm going to take that as such. I mean, managed in the past, the board was pretty clear about, you know, the Stagecoach and Steamboat Lake, that even though they were legally created, they were not buildable lots because of one reason or another. And what the consolidation process did was create a buildable lot. And according to the regulations, when a buildable lot is created, fee in lieu kicks in. But it gives the board the authority to, and give themselves the authority, I guess, to approve up to 5%. So zero is up to 5%. And the rationale for zero this time around, same thing you guys came around a couple weeks ago, was that there was a potential reduction in density by consolidating those lots. And that was pretty much the line of thinking at the board as well.
Did STARS permit fee get waived?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So typical for charitable type things?
Yeah, STARS is 501c3 that, you know, that was my decision. Substantially benefits the citizens of Rock County. Winter Sports Club is the same. You know, it's subjective, but, you know, they're pretty popular. They do provide a great benefit in this county. That Hope Trails application, same thing. In this instance, I could not waive that fee because Tim isn't a 501c3 and he's not a government agency. And so we had to, we asked him if we put together a letter, we gave it to the board, and the board reviewed it. And mainly it was because Tim works with the Winter Sports Club, who is 501c3 that benefits citizens in the county. And since he didn't make any money, yeah, they said they didn't have a problem with waiving fees. So, kind of one degree of separation, but it worked.
As long as it's applied evenly and consistently, then.
True. But this is the first.
Board of County Commissioners doesn't have to do that. That's up to them.
But they do want a lot of things, I think.
Anything else?
I don't know if you guys know, Jill Ferguson is no longer with the planning department. She's moved on, took a position in San Luis Obispo, California.
She's continuing to head west.
Right, as a planner. A planner one, lateral movement in the long-range planning department for the city. I advertised for planner one. That ad closed last Monday. I received 11 applications, and actually I'm talking to six. I think the response I had was great. You know, there are even some in the do not call file that actually look pretty good, kind of on the fence. So I'm pleased to be calling six people and got high hopes that I will choose one of them. Hopefully we've got a new planner on board by December. You know, we've got phone interviews scheduled for next week and then maybe in-person interviews the week after that. And then I'll hopefully anticipate that I have somebody in 30 days after. You know, I offer somebody the position, so that means by the holidays, we'll have that position filled. So we're short-staffed right now. But no new applications, so things are pretty light, which brings me to the next topic. If I could pull up my screen, I'll let you know that the only scheduled item is housekeeping adoption, the first meeting of next month. I believe it's the 4th. Brian,
is that the 18th?
It's the 4th. So Brian, John, and I will be in Keystone at this APA conference. So it's Christy's item, and you might be the only one here. You can get somebody else to sit over here with you. And Sarah.
I'll be there. But the same goes for the
APA. And then the second meeting, we're having scheduled yet. Are we? Yes, we are.
Yes.
So we'll be in the meeting there. All right, so yeah, kind of a lot here.
Jeff, there's a new job.
As far as planning items.
What's on the housekeeping list?
It's the same thing.
It's what you've already heard.
Yeah. There wasn't a motion from the planning commission to approve. It was just more of a consensus, and that got passed on to the board.
We intended that it was supposed to be an adoption, and then when we looked back at the minutes, we realized we never got an actual motion.
So our bad on that one. So that's it. Basically, taking the same thing that you looked at and put them over.
Any news on the meeting that we had with Steve?
I'm sorry, any news on what?
With Mr. Wonky.
What topic?
Did you run that by the board?
No, I didn't see the board.
How does Planning Commission feel? I mean, I suppose we should just ask Planning Commission, right?
Sure.
And how long ago was it that we did the outreach and went to Steamboat Lake and what year was
that? Before last?
Yeah.
So it'd be like 16?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think as recent as 2016, we had all these discussions about the master plan. It was a long secondary units.
Mm-hmm.
And now Knight Murals is coming back again. I shouldn't say it's coming back. And you can chime in with whatever state thing is going on in the spring, maybe, that the board is considering pushing everything back. But the topic is the nightly rentals. And Steve and I broached Chad and said, well, maybe we should do another work session. Like early December time frame. So hopefully we'd have everyone here, but the theory is the documents that we use, I think, to review all of our petitions, and you know there's check boxes in here, and is it in compliance, and it isn't, yes and no's, all of those things are in every packet, and it seems that this thing I thought was digested and kicked around, and as a body, we hashed it out. I mean, I think we did. But I think it's got a new life. And therefore, it's up to us if we choose to have another work session on that topic.
Are you hearing a lot of negative thoughts about secondary, rentals, nightly rentals?
I'm not, and not. It's more anecdotal that when I run into somebody, and I asked the guy at the hardware store the other day, the truck driver that hauls rocks, and that kind of anecdotal. Hey, what do you think? And you get probably the anticipated reaction of, I don't know. So that's part of the problem for me is that, I was here and sat at hour after hour after hour of meetings and multiple meetings when a lot of the documents that we use today were adopted enthusiastically. Unanimously. There wasn't, once it went round and we added to and deleted from and throw this back out again and then had another work session, and the whole thing was a process as I remember it. And I thought there was huge community buy-in. We had, every conservation group, which was probably only Amber Land Trust back then. I don't even know if we had Colorado Veterans then. But, I thought the community bought into a lot of those plans that were put in place to keep Rock County somewhat different than perhaps other. And all these things you can find in your master plan, that we use at every meeting. And I think that this thing could get away. I did attend a meeting that was held at the office of the Board of Realtors. Important meeting. And the crux of that was because of all the changes that the city made in their nightly rental stuff. Maybe you've read about it. Well, that had everybody up in arms. Everybody meeting primarily the management companies. So there was 30 people-ish at this meeting. There were about six brokers, real estate brokers. The rest of them were property management people. And one of the property managers who was leading the meeting said that he'd been meeting regularly with the Board of County Commissioners. It was unbeknownst to me, and I think to Chad, that any of this was going on. And maybe it was just as simple as public comment. Like if somebody wants to talk to us about something on an agenda, talk. So I don't know the context, but it was put out there that I think the Board of County Commissioners was getting lobbied by a very small segment of what I consider to be Rock County population. So anyway, that's the topic. And we talked to Chad about maybe scheduling a work session, but I think it's fair that you all decide.
But before you go on, the word I got through the deputy county manager is that the Board of County Commissioners is interested in having a joint work session with you guys. I think they've got a couple of topics. I'll float that question out there. Is there anything you guys want to talk about with the board? I'll get back on that later. It sounded like they were pretty eager to talk with you. And then on the second, let's wait until after the election. And so they're thinking January now. So anyways, so when you talk about maybe having your own meeting, just want to throw that in there, that the board wants to talk with you, chances are sometime in January. And I haven't received any kind of agenda or list of their items yet, but I anticipate that that would be part of the discussion as well.
Question.
We don't have to decide.
Were you thinking of some sort of roadshow that happened in 2016 where we had town halls and then we get back together?
Well, yeah, it was right at that time frame. Before you were on,
yeah.
When Hayden, Steamboat Lake, Steamboat, and Oak Creek, the Planning Commission went around to those four locations and ask the people in attendance if they supported the master plan. Is it a problem? Does it need work? Does it need changed? Is there something wrong with the master plan? And I, the one, I made three, no. I made two. I went to Steamboat Lake and Hayden. I don't think I came to Steamboat Lake before. Maybe I did come to Steamboat Lake. Anyway, the feedback at that point in time, and I think Planning Commission, at that point in time, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, said, things are fine. What are we doing? And I don't think it died.
Wouldn't it make sense to do some more town halls before we come up with our own, see what our constituents are feeling? I mean, maybe hold the town hall meetings on a couple of nights in our respective locations.
Is that kind of what you're getting at, Troy? I mean, just a list of topics or keep an open-ended. The road show that we had a year and a half or so ago, it was lightly intended. We had some good conversations at each one of those meetings, but the county has recently hired a consultant company, a communication consultant, and so I'm looking forward to working with them just to see if they have any ideas. Maybe the next time they do something like that roadshow, get some ideas from them on how we can get more people. Because as Troy and Bill, we vouch for, we have no problem filling this room when there's something that the community's fearful of or angry about. But when things are going well, we don't get that many people showing up. So that's really a focus of mine, trying to get even more people to show up from the past. I would say that, that the master plan was the topic of the last roadshow, and I would say it needs to be the focus of the next one. Last time I asked the Planning Commission the question, do you think the master plan needs to be updated? And then the majority of the comments were minor tweaks, back burner project, sometime in the future. It's 15 years old, so is a focused update, something quick, appropriate. And that's a good question to ask as well.
I'm not in favor of doing the roadshow on a narrow topic. If there was some broad topic that. I'm open to it. It's not that I don't want to go, but I just, the attendance is not that great. And I think it put forth, staff and everybody puts forth a lot of effort for 10, 12 people.
Well, my thought process was, we've got Oak Creek, Clark, Yampa.
I'm Oak Creek.
Oak Creek.
I still go to Yampa for the
fireworks. I don't know that we would all of us go to every location. I don't know that would be necessary. I'm open to whatever. My thought process is I'm one unelected official, and I've got my own opinions, but I don't have as much knowledge as the people in Clark do about Clark, which is why we have representation from you. I mean, you are all probably much more well educated on the feelings of the Rout County community than I am, living here in Steamboat and not having been around as long as you guys. And so I'd be hesitant to give my two cents, which is why I think public input would be valuable.
You have to throw in the Ben there. I know it's only early for you, but you heard the guy. Been here since 75. You got to get good at throwing that in there to really make your point stick home. Been here since.
Well, I think you could fill. I think you could fill this room if you had an ad, perhaps. Because I don't know all the social media stuff, but if there was an ad with a large title that said, we're having a work session on this day, and here's the topic.
Read here in big words.
Something,
understand.
I mean, that's more what I had in mind was something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, and there's a department head meeting next Thursday, and Tom invited in Lisa Schleckman and somebody else editor from the paper. And I think the topic is like new ways to communicate. And I don't know if that means between us and the paper or the paper and the community, but either way, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they have to say, you know, if they have better ideas on how to get the word out. Because I think as Bill and Troy might vouch for also, you know, 12 years ago, we had a reporter at almost every one of our planning commission meetings, especially if those hot topic. How many times did we have a reporter in this room?
Was it recorded in 12 years ago?
Not since I've been back.
What's that?
Was it recorded 12 years ago? Or broadcast live? Like
no,
it is now?
But they don't even report on any of the things typically. We might get something once every year or two that they actually report on if it's a hot topic.
Yeah.
It's the same way with sports. South Front gets no coverage. The paper doesn't cover things.
Yeah.
They reprint AP stories.
But I'll be talking to the newspaper about it, trying to get them in, hopefully interested in the Planning Commission agenda again.
I like the idea of a joint work session. Those are always educational and seem to go well.
Yeah. January is the target right now.
Mm. And I would support waiting until as such a time to tackle it again on our own until after we meet with the county.
Okay, we'll be thinking of agenda topics and I'll check back in. Or Christy.
I would think accessory units might still be something that people are concerned about one way or the other.
Secondary dwelling unit?
Yeah.
I thought that was a done deal, though.
Pardon me?
I thought that was a done deal.
Well, to me, it's the same thing as nightly rentals. I don't know.
Yeah, nightly rentals was a done deal, but we acknowledged people are doing it all over the place.
Well, and I could provide some clarity on that, too. There was a number that I've heard from a couple different sources.
And therein lies part of the problem, John.
Yes.
That we discussed.
Yeah.
Because it is accepted, maybe, that these things, there's like 500 of them. I don't think that's accurate.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and
there's more like 10% of that.
Right, right.
Yeah, after hearing that 500 number, 500 total short-term rental units in the camp, and I thought that's amazing. And so one of the management company managers had given that number to city council recently. So I called up that person. I said, Christophershire and I both did a little separate analysis when on VRBO, Airbnb, or HomeAway, and just kind of took a quick count of what we found on there, and we each came up with under 50.
In the count.
I did my own search, and I came up with 56.
Yeah.
But that included Perry Mansfield.
Okay.
So if you take off Perry Mansfield, you're at less than 50.
And two or three years ago, the first time we were talking about this, I counted about 50, 56. So I said, do you search different than me? Am I doing something wrong? If I'm way off, you know, let me know. How did you come up with 500? And he said, I got it from the county. Got it from you guys. I said, not my staff. So actually, we looked up the minutes. And it came from Tom Sullivan.
Tom Sullivan.
So I had a joint work session. I approached Tom Sullivan and I said, Tom, where'd you get the number? And he said, he got it from a consultant that he was talking with. And there was supposedly some algorithm that came up with that number. And he's in the process of digging up that file and giving it to me. But I think that the staff is more accurate than their consultant.
See, and that's part of the misinformation that I think is out there. That, oh my God, it's everywhere.
Right.
And it ain't. There's not 500 of them around.
Right. Actually, we've got an enforcement case concerning, originally it was maybe 15 properties in Treehouse. Most of them just didn't know it was against the regulations. And I think that explains even the drop in numbers from when I did the study a few years ago, because there were probably 10 or 12 less in Treehouse than there was a couple years ago. So, anyways, it doesn't seem to be that pervasive in the county. And you know, and the word is out, you know, and you guys heard that guy from the Treehouse Center District saying the county doesn't enforce the regulations. I said, yeah, we do. And he's the one that turned in 1,250 complaints, and we're taking care of most of them. Most of the people are like, oh, sorry, I didn't know. What I'm hearing a lot lately is, well, yeah, I've got a page on VRBO or HomeAway or whatever, but it says 30-day minimum. All right? That's not a short-term commitment. So, anyways, the problem isn't as bad as some people would lead others to believe it.
There's still more to talk about.
Yeah, so anyway, when Troy was talking about the time frame, and I think I explained this when you guys were kicking around that fractional ownership clarification that we proposed in the regulations, and that got put on hold. And it was mainly because, is there any crossover between timeshare, short-term rental, and supposedly there is some legislation state level that would give the county taxes or fees if it's considered lodging. Don't quote me on that, but it's something like that. And so I think we're supposed to know the end of first quarter next year, and so that could impact
the
board's decision on short-term rentals.
The state is tackling the unfair tax advantage of operating a business out of something that's taxed residentially? Interesting.
I do not know the details.
Because that's a big thing. You know?
Yeah, because I'm sure the hotels are losing money.
They got to be like, hey, I got to comply with all these regulations and you guys don't have to do nothing. Come on. Yep.
Could be.
Interesting.
So anyways, as I know more about that, I will pass it along to you.
Interesting.
That's all I got.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
We're adjourned.
All right, thank you. Oh, actually, if I, one more thing, you guys, and then just a word of caution. To hear it like tonight, just be cautious of giving more than they ask for. And I think an example would be if you were a neighbor and you got an APO and you went to the website and you read the application and it was for, whatever, and they wanted five of something. Oh, five is no big deal. And then by the time it went through the process, it was 20. And 20 could be a big deal, but they might have ignored the process because they only asked for five. So, not that there's a right or wrong, it becomes a problem if the advertisement we sent out had a number, and that number was exceeded. That can't happen. But if it's something that's vague.
And we generally try when we advertise to be a little more vague for that reason. That, to give that flexibility to people, I guess Chad definitely has a point there that we could run into issues if it was worse than in the actual advertisement of the application. So.
Good advice.